Oh my God.
Yeah, tell it, tell it. Whatever it is, that sounds
hilarious. Yes.
The DivaCast, number 79, 25 January 2008.
Thank God it's Friday.
Woo!
I mean, hey, man. It was only a 4-day week.
Hello, everybody. We are the five fun, fabulous 40-something friends that I know you of and you're sharing with your fun, fabulous friends. But we are the divas of the DivaCast. And I am Suzanne.
And I'm Amy.
I'm Julie.
And I'm Sharon. And we believe inside every woman is a diva.
And we're missing Diva Carrie.
But, okay, we're really bad divas.
Naughty divas.
Okay, you know what? Her birthday was only in July. Now it's January. So we thought we'd honor her.
We thought we could either be really late for last year.
Well, you know what? This
really
is really her 6 month. It's her 6 month point. It's
there
her
you
six,
go.
It's her
it's
half
happy
birthday.
Day.
Yes.
Happy half birthday.
Half year birthday, Carrie.
All right. So we're glad we have Carrie, and this is Julie. So I'll go first. Oh wait a minute.
Ooh,
do we hear footsteps?
Heels?
Okay.
Well, let's just do it anyway.
Let's do it.
Just do it.
Well, I just wanted to say that I am blessed to have Carrie in my life because
oh,
we
you're just
share,
saying that because she's coming down the stairs.
Yeah. No, I'm saying it before she gets here because we've had a couple of experiences together. And then our daddies died within a couple of months of each other, which bonded us. And then also, we always go on the women's retreat together. But the best thing is, when we all went to Whitewater, she was the only one that would do the ride with me.
Oh, bite my butt. I want to do it next time.
Oh, your hair looks good.
All right, Carrie.
You snuck
here.
In.
Happy
for your
happy
anniversary birthday.
All right, I'm going to go next. I love Carrie. She is a sweetie.
What? You're making this up. What are you talking
okay,
about?
Okay, cut her off so she cannot interrupt us.
There you go.
Ooh. I love so Carrie.
She is so bossy.
Now she's leaning in my mic.
I love Carrie, and I'll tell a funny story. When we first met, one of my girlfriends was wanted me to be in y'all's mom's group. So I walked up and she introduced me to Carrie and Julie. And she goes, Sharon has to be in our mom's group. And Carrie promptly looked and said, well, you know, our group is pretty full. So maybe she'd want to be in another mom's group.
Do I have a mic? Am I still off?
So I love Carrie. And I intruded in her life, whether she wanted me or not.
Now we're stuck with her.
Yeah.
She remembers
so
this differently.
She, anyway, Carrie is very kind, very giving. And quite honestly, she is my daughter's mentor. And she loves you as well.
Aww.
That's very sweet.
No, seriously, what are we doing here?
Your birthday, honey.
Oh, my
Suzanne,
birthday.
Yeah.
6 months later, you're not with it?
We're
birthday. Silly me.
Okay, we're really early for next year.
Okay.
It's January.
Okay. Carrie and I have had so many laughs, but the one that really sticks out in my mind is, I'm sorry when you other divas weren't there.
It's all right.
Is when we were out in California and we went out to dinner and of course we drank wine and we couldn't find the rental car. The two of us, you know, being, what are we? We're challenged.
Directionally challenged.
Yes.
And blonde.
And drunk.
Blonde, drunk, and directly challenged.
And we are walking around the streets of Santa Barbara and we can't even remember where the car park is. And I laugh so hard. You know what happens when I laugh so hard. Yeah.
What happens when we get older.
Yeah, exactly.
We're with you.
That happens too if you're playing tennis a lot too.
Happens if you sneeze too.
Stop it. Stop. Or breathe.
I'm
gross now.
Oh my gosh. But that is one of the funniest times that we had. Is we just laughed and laughed.
That could be our new sponsor. Depends.
Oh my.
No, I have to say mine is from my surgery. It's not from old age.
Oh, me too then. Yeah. Me too. My surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just do your kegels.
Yeah. Okay.
Bagels.
You were right the first time.
Okay, it's your turn.
I am very infatuated with Carrie. Always have been.
I thought you were infatuated with her husband.
No, Carrie Moore. I've always had a girl crush on Carrie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I have.
That is so hot. This is Suzanne talking.
Well, you know what? I'm thinking I've always had a girl crush on Carrie, too.
Me, too.
they're going to fight over me.
Me too.
Really?
No, but she's
Amy and I mean, Sharon and I'll just sit back and watch.
We've slept in the same bed.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Multiple times.
No, I just, Carrie just like does things really well. She just really does. I mean, she's like the Energizer Bunny kind
she
of
really
person.
Is.
And,
yes.
And it's like, she just can go in all different directions and like get it together. And I just kind of like, just am in awe of that. It's an awesome trait. And I wished I was more like ya, honey.
Thank you.
Love
this
ya.
Is really weird sitting in this seat. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you feel really awkward.
Thank you guys very much.
Well, you're welcome.
You'll have to listen to the whole thing to hear all of it.
Oh, by the way, I just want to mention to our listeners that Carrie was on Girlfriendology. This was so cool. So you have to go to our website, www.thedivacast.com, and check it out.
Oh, that was
fun. Because
we
put a link to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right. So
do you want me to tell?
I do.
Okay. Sharon's looking at me. This is Julie. And I haven't shared with you other three. I told Sharon this story of, okay, we've discussed our Christmas and our presents, and we've discussed our mothers. We're sitting at Christmas, and it's my mother, my husband, and my three children in the room. So I open one from my mother, and I look at it, and it's the sticky, cushiony flower things that you put on your nipples.
Wait, what?
On your nipples.
On your nipples?
Your nipple covers. So that if you have
in front of God and everybody Christmas Day.
In front
Day.
Of God and everybody with my 13-year-old son sitting next to me.
Oh my gosh.
I pull them out and I go, I look at my mother and she, and I look at my husband and he's like, what in God's name? And I look at my mother and she goes, you need them. You need them. And I go, oh my God, mother.
Wait a second. I don't know what these things are. I don't know what these things are.
They're sticky, thick.
You stick them on your nipples so you don't have
nip hard on.
Yeah. You know. And so,
oh, I thought it was something you used in bed with your husband.
No. This is so you put them under your shirt so your nipple things don't show.
Yeah, you put them right over like a Band-Aid.
Your nipple things.
My 13-year-old son's looking at me. He goes, what is it? And I kind of like turned it to him. He goes, oh my God, that's too much information.
And all I got was pajamas from my mother.
So I put them down in the box. And I'm like, I don't even say anything. I'm like kind of dumbfounded. And so afterwards, my husband goes, okay, all I'm wondering is how did it happen? Is she walking through the store going, where are their nipple covers?
Because Julie needs aisles of nipple covers.
Or does she find them and then go, oh my God, Julie needs these. And what part of her possessed her to give them to you in front of three children? And I'm like,
on Christmas Day, how about like in the bathroom upstairs, you know?
Does this explain to you why I'm in therapy?
That is so
bizarre.
I need to see these. I don't think I've ever seen these.
Honey, I probably have an extra pack.
Where do you even buy them?
I think she got them at Kohl's. But I will share a pack with you.
In what section?
Honey, I don't know.
Lingerie.
We're not sure.
I don't know.
They have them in every. They have them in Target. They have them in Walmart.
I don't know. Yeah. I've never shopped
for
them.
So it's. I guess it's not hip to have nipple.
Well, you know what? It's not hip in a school. But I am so ultra paranoid. I'm wearing layers upon layers.
Let me ask a question. When did nipples become inappropriate? Because the way I see it, men have nipples.
Yeah.
Women have nipples. Nipples are everywhere.
What? I always was proud of my nipples.
I know. You like nipples.
I always was proud of my nipples because I didn't have big breasts.
That's Amy.
So I was proud of my nipples.
Well, so I used to stuff toilet paper in my
bra. I just had nipples.
I've got nipples.
Okay.
But now.
Okay.
Stop. Wait a minute. Let me tell you this. So I called my sister because we're going to go see her.
Did she get nipple covers too?
No. But I called her and I said, okay. Guess what I got for Christmas? And she's like, oh my God. I mean, she couldn't believe it. So she calls all of her friends down there in St. Simon's.
Guess
so
what?
I get down there and her friend calls to the house and goes, did your sister bring her covers?
Can I have those for a white elephant gift for next Christmas?
Honey, you may have mine because I honestly can't see me putting petals on them.
Petals?
Can you imagine taking
They're
them off?
Flowers.
Ooh.
I just don't
the
know.
The only time I've ever stuck anything like that on my nipples was in a mammogram. It's like,
you stuck something on there?
Yeah. For my mammograms, the place where I go, they make you put this little nipple thing on with a little metal thing on it.
Have you ever done that?
Have you ever had that? Yeah.
I haven't. Mine just gets squished.
It's like the radiologist must be so inept that,
look, where's your nipple?
I mean, I don't get it, but that's kind of what I thought.
That might give us a whole new insight into your boobing.
Well, you know what? If we have any listeners that use those,
call us and tell them about your experience with them, please.
Or send your weird Christmas
gifts. Yes, or at 678-884-0524. We want to hear your nipple stories.
Or, you know, if you don't want to voice it, send us an email.
Yep.
diva@thedivacast.com.
We are going downhill fast.
Yeah. Okay.
What are we talking about today,
Well,
girls?
Wait a second, though. Wait a second.
Amy, no more questions.
So, I listened to the Newt.
It was Rick Tyler.
Podcast, but it was Rick Tyler who was his spokesperson, right, or whatever. I guess you had some listeners that didn't care for it so much.
Okay, yes. Let's just say this right here, though.
I think when you guys were talking about it being a blue state, what you really meant was a red state, but maybe that turned people off, maybe. But the real reason that all happened, everybody, was that Sharon just is in love, infatuated with Newt.
I am. And she stole our show. She hijacked it.
She just thought that he was.
I do. I think
she thinks the world of him.
I do. Well, and one of our listeners wrote in say how stupid he is. He's not.
Many things, but he is so intelligent.
Oh my gosh, you can't call him stupid.
Yeah, you can call him
a lot of things, yeah, but not stupid.
Okay, wow. Here's the thing, though, to our listeners. If you have a difference in opinion, always feel free to email or call us. And let us know what you're thinking. I mean,
we like that conversation.
Yeah, we're not trying to sway anybody or, you know. Just don't leave a comment on iTunes, okay? Don't trash us on iTunes.
Unless it's good.
Okay, unless it's good.
But yeah. So Sharon has her love affair with Newt.
Right.
I have a new love affair with somebody.
Oh, tell us about it.
Oh, really?
Tell us, Amy.
I went skiing, like, in Maggie Valley with my kids over the past weekend, and my husband as well. And needless to say, it was my idea to go skiing. I wanted to do it. I hadn't skied since I broke my leg. So it was like, I'm going to get up there and do it again.
Good for you.
And I was biting the dust. Those slopes were kicking my butt.
Okay,
I was wiping
out. You're 40-something now.
Was it icy or what?
No. It was really nice snow. It was powdered, but it snowed while we were there, too. So we had real snow. But anyway, so one night we were watching television in the cabin, and I'm drinking a glass of wine because it was a hellacious day on the slopes for me. And the kids, you know, one of the boys has the TV changer thing, and all of a sudden there's these men and on television, and they are looking for something in the sand at the water's edge, like in Washington State. And they are called gooey ducks. Does anybody know what a gooey duck is?
I have no
idea. Heard of it.
Okay. It's a clam. And you have to go like 3 feet deep into the sand on the water's edge. And they're like these phallic looking things.
Okay,
they're like the grossest,
weirdest
thing.
You would do that
because
why?
Is this your crush?
This is my crush. I'm telling you about my crush. I don't have a crush on gooey ducks.
Phallic gooey ducks.
So
I'm just kind of like, it's like, what the heck are they watching? And I'm drinking a glass of wine and I'm just, what the heck is this? And they're talking about gooey ducks, and they pull out this thing out of the sand, and it's like this 2 feet long. And this guy who's like doing this pulling of these gooey ducks out, he's like making jokes. It's kind of like adult humor.
That's Dirty Jobs.
It was Dirty
Jobs.
That's my new.
Honey, I'm right there with you. Mike Rowe is hot.
And he's funny.
He's so darn funny.
Look.
Ooh.
He's on the cover of Fast Company magazine.
I love him.
It's like, I was like, oh my gosh, there's something about this man.
Oh,
he's like
so
dirty.
Sexy.
And turns out that that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Dirty Jobs.
I love that show.
Well, and don't you think part of the sexiness about him, though, is his humor?
Is his humor.
The section that we did.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, I left a message about what do you find is sexy? And I said
for Dr. Lori
from our show, from our previous show on sex. If y'all haven't listened to it, it's hysterical. It's
Did you
very,
say
very
Mike
well done.
Rowe?
No, I didn't say Mike Rowe. I said what I find is so sexy in a man is a great personality. And sense of humor. I have a crush on my oncologist, and he's chubby and bald.
Yeah.
And I go in there, and we laugh our butts off.
You know,
I think I could marry him.
But Mike Rowe has really good arms and a nice butt.
Oh,
that always helps.
Yeah.
Not that I was looking, but.
I was like, this is my new favorite show. I had never seen that show before.
You gotta watch it. We watched it. Great show to watch with your kids.
Sharon has Newt. Now I have Mike.
I don't think Sharon's gonna have any competition.
Now,
you might, Amy.
Yeah.
We're not gonna be fighting for him.
Okay.
But you like intellect.
I guess I do.
For those of us.
And I just like dirty men.
Dirty boys.
Dirty boys in the water.
With gooey ducks that are phallic looking. It was so weird. You have to go check that out.
All right, Amy. Okay, I'm ready.
You're going on about this one.
Nipples and phallic.
Perseverate.
Gooey ducks.
All right, I'm nothing to do up. With the show we're going to do
I'm
today, by
up.
The way.
That is true. But I have one
wine.
Little story. Okay. My son got his driver's license.
Big day.
Do I look older today than I did a couple weeks
ago? I just noticed
ago.
Your color looks really good. You must have covered up some more gray. Oh,
wait gosh. A second. Julie, what did I call you with? I'm having a mental block.
You made me laugh because you were talking to Sharon, and all of a sudden, in the middle of her thing, she starts yelling at her son, stop, put your brick up, stop.
You were... You're talking on your cell phone when he was driving the car?
She was talking to Carrie. So then Carrie is laughing so hard. She calls me to tell me. And then I'm laughing so hard.
I said, I got to go. And I hung up on her.
Yeah, she hung up on me. And I just cracked up.
All I said was, Carrie, we're there in 2 years.
I know. But can you imagine Sharon, our little control freak, be in the car with her son?
Oh, no. How many times have you had your son in?
He's driven 3 times with me.
Oh, man, that's it? That's been 2 weeks he's had that license.
Honey,
that's
enough.
3 times isn't more than enough.
He's probably dying.
Well, y'all, it's.
Did he drive you golf
I need
cart?
To take, like.
You need a drink.
I need to be a value or something.
Sharon, did he drive your golf cart?
Oh, yeah. He drives the golf cart fine. Okay. The golf. And that's one nice thing is he gets. But the first time we got his license, he's like, Mom, let's just go to a parking lot. So I pull into a parking lot. And I said, okay, you can drive. He backs up. He guns it.
Stop.
Mom, I didn't realize how sensitive the gas pedal is.
Well, but you know what? That's a good and a bad thing. You drive the golf cart because the gas is totally different.
It is. I mean, so anyway, so that he's gotten better. It's fun. Yeah. Good luck to everybody.
Yeah. That's our good segue.
Yes. We have a book we're just going to talk about for a few minutes. And it was on the New York Times, and it's called The 7 Worst Things Good Parents Do. And it's by John and Linda Friel. I think that's how they pronounce
you mean New
it.
New York Times bestseller list.
Bestseller
right?
Is that
list.
What I said?
No, you just said New York Times. It was in the New York Times.
It's okay.
That's okay, honey. Yeah, we're clairvoyant. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
We got you covered.
Anyway, so they focus on 7 things that they suggest you not do. Okay, and they found that good parents tend to do this, and it's not a good thing. And the first thing is baby your child. This is where your child's never responsible for anything. You're tying their shoes, starting off just from the get-go. You are trying to make their life as easy as possible. And they're saying, really, that's not the good thing, because guess what? What do they
that's
never learn?
That's not real.
Okay. Wait,
consequences. Did I answer right, Teacher Sharon?
Yeah.
Consequences, okay. And they never learn responsibility.
Yeah.
No so way. It is, and we're seeing this. You know, these are life lessons, okay?
Right,
they will
right,
never
right.
take responsibility, and they will never be accountable. It'll always be somebody else's fault.
It's that entitlement.
Did you baby... Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, do I baby my kids? And the only thing that I do probably... The only thing that I do for them that might be considered babying is I make their lunch for
me
them.
Me too.
I do too.
Yeah, I do that.
I do that. I think some woman would find that babying, but I like to do that. For my
you know
kids.
What? And I find and it breakfast. That that's the only way they're going to get something balanced in their lunch.
Well, the other thing is and it stems to your old childhood mm-hmm. stuff. I made my own lunch when I was little. Mm-hmm. You know, I made my own peanut butter and jelly sandwich and my apple and my chips and mm-hmm. threw it in a paper sack and went out the door. And I can remember
feeling lucky about that.
So I do that for them. All right.
Yeah, the other thing about babying, though, they bring up is the fact that the child never learns, you know, the feeling of accomplishing
Absolutely.
Something, going after something that's difficult and feeling good about yourself. That's mm-hmm. tied into that whole self-esteem. So that's important.
Well, and those people grow up and they're never happy.
That's the other thing they say.
They're never happy.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Because
they've never had to experience failure, and then they get out in the real world and it's failure, 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 and especially in relationships.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
What's the second point, Sharon?
The second one is putting your marriage last. They call it a parental childbearing unit. You lose your marriage and you just become focused on the child. Mm. And so the parent's role is they're not modeling a marriage. They're not modeling what a man and woman's relationship should look like. The child basically runs the household. So they're saying...
Is that the same thing as being the kid's friend and not their parent? No, that's different.
This is just they're in charge. They're in charge from the get-go.
Everything goes revolves around the child.
And that's running rampant in our
society.
Generation. Our generation. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, the kids have become the total focal point, you know.
And the parents lose their perspective. Their marriage becomes
it suffers.
Yeah,
and it's so easy to do.
Yeah,
you know. But I know even at church, I notice like I do this intentionally. When we go to church, I make the girls go in first, and then I sit down next to Joe. A lot of couples, I just notice that they'll sit on, the dad will be here, the kids are in the middle, and the mom's on the other end. And it for me, it's just I don't know, it's just something that I do that I want them to know where their place is.
Right.
It's a subtlety. It's like you're teaching them that your place is next to your husband, and their place is next to y'all.
Yeah.
But you're making Joe a priority without really saying it out loud.
Right.
And the advice they give is make sure you spend date nights. Make sure you go away together at least once a year without the children.
How many do you girls know? I do know people who have never left their children.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. That's so scary.
I'm like, what are you, insane?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they are insane. And you know, really, that's more about their need than it is the child's need.
What do you mean?
That's really about the parents' need. There's some reason that they're holding on to. It's a control issue or some neurotic need of their own. That they can't just go away and leave their child. It's not the child's need. You know, it's their need to.
Yeah, and the older the kid gets, the harder it is then to leave. You know what I'm saying?
All right, so when we went skiing this weekend, that was our 16th wedding anniversary, and we took our kids with us.
You guys go away.
Yeah, we do go away.
Yeah.
But I wanted to. Okay.
You get what's rooms? Number three, Sharon?
Number three. I'm moving on. Pushing your child into too many activities. And that's.
Running rampant in our kids.
Yes.
Right. That's huge.
And they're just saying basically the child becomes fatigued and it really is not good for the child.
You guys, I'm telling you, I am seeing so many more adolescent clients right now, and I cannot tell you this is the overriding issue right here, what I'm seeing in the therapeutic setting. These kids are coming in to therapy. Their parents are literally bringing them in, coming, fix my kid, and it's because these children are so overscheduled. These kids are like, I have one girl, she's 15, she's like playing 3 varsity sports.
That's insane.
And I think, you know what her parents say? She needs this. She needs this because we want her to go to one of the military academies. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh,
who's living that life?
Exactly. And let me tell you, this kid, I think if your child even makes it to next year because she's so suicidal, because they're so, and has so much anxiety.
Pressure.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, and you're
making.
Telling them that school is not that important because they're stressing so many sports and extracurricular
But it's not even that, though, Julie. I mean, even kids in my small group, that's the overriding thing is they have straight A's. I mean, I look at some of them and I go, they've got straight A's.
Exactly.
And they have 2 or 3 sports.
Yes.
And my kids don't have straight A's.
Right.
And I'm like, is there something wrong with my kids? And then they're telling me, you know, could you please, would you talk to my mom about letting me drop a sport? You know, and I'm like, you can't tell your mom that? No, I want to drop this one. I'd rather just do this one, but I can't. She won't let me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I'm like, whose life are you living?
Right. Exactly.
And when do they sit down as a family and have dinner?
They can't. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way possible.
Yeah. That's what's missing.
And that's what they talk about. They just say that the child really suffers and just has no time to, you know, they're lonely.
It's
so many
it's
things.
Heinous.
But all of a sudden I just realized we sound like, oh, we're doing it right and we're criticizing. But I even struggle, even though my one daughter has one sport, soccer, and the other daughter, you know, plays golf here and there. They don't have that much going on. But still with homework, I still struggle with all that we do with work and the DivaCast and everything else. Making that time to have dinner together, you know, and you have to, you know, at the end of the long day is like going in there and really trying to connect with your kid. It's hard.
I think it's a fine line. I mean, my kids, when I look at how much they're doing, it seems like it's insane. I mean, soon to be 15-year-old, he's in Boy Scouts, he's in karate, he does hockey. And he's asking me to do guitar lessons. And I told him, I said, no, you can't do that until something else slacks off. I mean, you got to finish something else first. He's not like the social butterfly kind of kid. That's where he gets his social needs met are with those organized activities. And so we do sit down for dinner every night.
That's great.
I mean,
we don't.
Yeah, no, we
I mean, we're able to do that somehow, but it sounds like he's like insane. I mean, in regards to what he's doing, I couldn't do it. But then how do you, I mean, if your kid wants to do all that stuff, I mean, I know you can say no.
You make
no.
them choose. Yeah, you know, you make them choose.
It's teaching them to set priorities.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we have a one sport rule. So which one do you want to play the most?
That's what we do.
I have to say something just a minute. That's what I love about Julie right there. And I have even used you as an example in therapy.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I found myself saying to parents the other day, okay, who's the parent? Who's the parent? Who's the child?
Right.
And I was like,
I sound like Julie.
Who's talking?
I'm Julie's
channeling
here.
I know, but sweetie, that whenever I feel stuck, I hear that. Who's the parent? I go, oh my gosh, hello. It's so basic. So thank you.
Well, it's so basic, but when you didn't have it,
yeah,
it's what
yeah.
you try to change.
Yeah.
Like we've talked about so many times, is what you try to do different in your life. So anyways, I mean, you could talk forever. This is a whole podcast in
yeah,
itself.
I know.
Right, what's the next one,
Sharon?
Yeah,
okay. This one's a good one, and we could probably do a whole podcast on this. And it's ignoring your spiritual or emotional life.
Mm.
And he talks about seven specific things that you need to teach your child. And they include humility, that they need to be able to trust people, not teaching them to be fearful or greedy in life. He talks about the fact that immediate gratification, I need to be happy right now. And, you know, we as parents don't want our kids to struggle. But he's saying struggling is good. There's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of self-worth, self-esteem. He talks about every man for himself. We're so into teaching our kids to be narcissistic right now. And what comes out of that is loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Can one person make a difference? So we need to teach these kids, if they don't have any spiritual or emotional beliefs, these are the kind of things that they come out with.
That is a whole podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is be your child's best friend. You're their friend. You're not really the parent. And that goes back to what y'all were just talking about.
This is the worst thing, right? Worst thing.
Yeah. Do not be their best friend.
Do not be their best friend. You've got to be the parent. You've got to be the adult. Children want boundaries. Children want structure.
Absolutely. We'll touch again on that when we do Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Okay,
because
good.
That's one of her points, is you be their parent, not their friend.
Failure to give your child structure. And then the last one is expecting your child to fulfill your dreams. And so you superimpose what you always wanted to do onto your child without allowing them the opportunity to grow and learn.
Or
and
to
struggle.
Choose it. Like
yeah,
Carrie was choose, saying, yeah. that girl whose mom won't let her drop out of that sport, maybe her mom always wanted to be a star in that sport. And
exactly.
So she's forcing her daughter, and her daughter's
not passionate.
It wants
to live
passionate.
Her unlived dreams.
Well, and even if, you know, like Amy was saying earlier, things that you didn't have as a child, and you were saying, Julie, you know, I have to be careful with that. Things that I didn't have as a child, thinking that my kids should want that. You know, and offering
right.
that up to them. And then when
right.
they don't want to do it, whether it's dance lessons or whatever it is mm-hmm. that I thought,
right.
I would
have
right.
money to do
yeah.
that.
And they're like, nah, I don't want to do it. I'm like, what are you crazy?
yeah.
you know?
Yeah, that's right. true.
It's hard. You got to catch yourself.
There's a fine line between, you know, giving the kids what you didn't have as a kiddo and then doing so much or wanting so
right.
much for them that
right.
it's your own
Listen,
issues.
Parenting is the hardest job ever.
Why aren't there
well,
more classes
with
in
marriage
it, you
too?
Know?
I think both yeah. of those are very
You
hard.
Know, the only time really that parenting classes are mandated, it's when somebody's already
really
in the,
right.
the CPS system.
Right.
You know, Child
yeah.
Protective Services. And then we mandate parenting classes. And I think this should be just for anyone.
This should be done before.
Yeah.
Right.
It should
right.
be a
yeah.
high school class.
It really should.
Some do. Some high schools do teach
Our high
it.
School has
yes.
child development.
When you're pregnant in high school or something.
No, they have child
no,
development
they
at
do.
The school where I work. And they take care of children and they have to go through classes. And
It's cool with the thinking about the school should be teaching that. But it's interesting how our culture, you know, really you think that should be something that's handed down.
Sure.
And
yeah.
here we are saying somebody should teach this class.
Yeah.
I know. It's just kind of odd.
You know?
Yeah,
I
know.
It's sad that we would even need somebody to
I know,
teach
that's what
it.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad. We'll
the
have this on the
thing.
Website, right?
We'll yeah,
have
we'll have
on the
this.
Website.
And he just talks about small changes, how to parent if you find yourself. And he gives examples on how to test yourself if you're doing any or all of these things. And how you can slowly
wean yourself
from
yeah.
these kinds of behaviors. And it's interesting because he talks about dysfunctional on both extremes. And so let me just read one real quick example. The people who rage and knock holes in walls versus people who rage by pouting silently for 2 days to punish you. Mm. So he goes from one extreme to the other, and he talks about you're trying to be in the middle on these things. And so, you know, either extreme is really dysfunctional.
Yes. So you can rage a little bit.
Well, and you know what? I have to say, as we're honoring Carrie today, one of my best things I ever learned from her was an example for my child, because I couldn't get my daughter to communicate and she recommended the journal.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had so many people stop me, and we've had emails about the journal, that that was such a gift to them as well. And it's been a gift for my daughter.
I don't know what that is.
Journaling back and forth.
Oh, my daughter wouldn't. She didn't like to talk. She's not my chatty one. So Carrie said, she's a writer. You know, write to her. So I bought a notebook and it's for girls only and no stinky boys allowed. And I write to her, hey, how are you? What's going on? I put it on her pillow. She writes back, Mom, no. She tells me things. Sometimes she just draws me pictures, whatever. Puts it back on my pillow. I write back to her. We do it back and forth. And it's kind of our secret.
I love that
thing. Oh, Carrie, it told
my kids,
me.
I did that with them some of the time, but they're not as responsive as her.
Well, she's a writer. That's the way she expresses, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
But
I'm going to borrow that.
It's very cool.
That is good.
We did have a couple of
therapy,
emails on it.
Very nice.
And if you want to email us on your ideas, please do. diva@thedivacast.com. We'd love to hear
Or call ideas. Us. Call us at 678-884-0524.
If you get a chance, please take our listener survey and be sure to sign up for our newsletter. We actually are going to get one out there. We've only been talking about it for 6 months.
We've sent a few. I mean, we've sent one newsletter and several emails, so we're really cooking now.
It's coming.
Yes.
All right, girls, we've got to go.
We got to go.
We're closing today with some PodSafe music by The String. It's called Can You Hear Me? Thanks, as always, to Natalie Brown for our intro music, and Sharon wants to say something.
I just want to say hey to Katie from Texas. We got your voicemail. Thank you so much. And Mary from Minnesota. We've gotten both your phone mails, and thank you so much. We're glad you're listening.
Hey, I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but I thought it would be cool to do this in honor of the show. Maybe not, but the show just honoring Robin. Her dad passed away today.
Oh, yeah.
In our hearts with her.
She was going to be with us tonight at the, we're going to the dinner affair thing tonight, and she was going to be with us, but he passed away.
And she is a diva.
We love you, Robin.
Yeah, we're sorry, Robin.
Thinking about you,
hearts
darling.
Hearts with you, babe.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye. Thanks, everybody. Listen up. This is called Can You Hear Me by The String. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Together, but I know. Right there under the sugar-coated scars, there must be gold. Behind her eyes, the stories are untold. A whisper speaks so loud. In the middle of the crowd, she's crying out. Can you hear me? I'm fighting for my right to breathe. Can you speak so loud.